In the middle of the series, we're calling The Good Life. And we're talking about something today that feels almost anything but. I don't know if you guys have observed the same world that I've observed lately, but it's like I'm observing a world that is living at a level of anxiety that I've never observed before. We're anxious about everything. Obviously, our health with this, the virus and the pandemic, we're anxious about our elections, we're anxious about the political ideas that we believe or don't believe, we're anxious because our baseball team lost the first game of the series, but it's okay, they won the second game, so they're even right now. Whatever the things that we're anxious about school. What are we going to do with school? Like, there's a level of anxiety that I see existing in our world that almost, it seems like we're almost forced to live in. It concerns me. You can't turn on the news without feeling overwhelmed by the anxiety of others. It's just interesting how as it seems like we're losing a grip on what is normal, the level of anxiety seems to be more and more penetrating to our society. And we see it on a mass scale, but if I'm honest, we also see it on a personal scale. And while I've talked to some of you, this is the truth I know, that the vast majority of people who experience anxiety or even clinical depression never say anything about it. You see, we have this idea that we don't want to share it with other people because we don't want to affect how they view us. We want to have people of answer, not people of problems. C.S. Lewis had an interesting thought about this. In his book, The Problem with Pain, C.S. Lewis says, "We often feel the impact of anxiety and depression, but internalize or try to hide our condition. Mental pain is less dramatic than physical pain, but it is more common and also more hard to bear. You see, the frequent attempt to conceal mental pain increases the burden. It is easier to say my tooth is aching than it is to say my heart is broken." We don't want to say my heart is broken, but the truth is so much of what we feel, maybe in this time, but also maybe before this, is that we have ailing hearts. We have broken hearts. You know, there's actually a medical condition called broken heart syndrome where grief and anxiety and depression become so overwhelming it actually attacks the cardiovascular system. My aunt was running in a triathlon in Texas several years ago. The previous year, she'd lost her husband. And in the middle of this triathlon, she was overcome by grief and felt like she was having what felt like a heart attack. They airlifted her away, only to find out she was suffering from this, from broken heart syndrome. Her grief, her anxiety, her depression was so overwhelming, it literally broke her heart. You see, anxiety disorders are the most common mental illness in the U.S., affecting 40 million adults. That doesn't include children. You see, in the United States, 18.1% of the population suffers from this every year. You see, anxiety disorders, they're highly treatable, but only 36.9% of those suffering actually seek treatment. Whether some form of counseling or medication or in-house or inpatient treatment. And if we're honest, this is one of those things that we hear talked about a lot, but sometimes even in church itself, we don't really bring this to light. Sure, somebody may make an appointment with me and we kind of talk about it, but there's confidentiality there and we don't want everyone else knowing because anxiety and depression, it's overwhelming. We don't want people to see on the outside how we feel on the inside. And the reason I know this is because this is me. This is my story. The first time I sought treatment for anxiety or depression, I was a child. I was my son Jackson's age. He's 9. My mom put me in counseling because I was overwhelmingly anxious and depressed. It seemed to get better for years. I never had any problems with it. Junior high and high school were fine. And something happened in my adult life that triggered this again. And a few different times now, this has been the path that I have been on. And I don't tell this to you lightly. And again, I'm even personally, I don't share this a lot. But I felt convicted this week as I'm reading even this quote by Lewis and we're talking about the words of Jesus that if I can share with you my experience, maybe you can feel comfortable not being afraid to share yours. I remember I was in my dream job. I was working as a youth pastor at the church I always wanted to work at. I was working with my best friend. Everything was going great work-wise, but all of a sudden, every day I got home, I just felt hollow. I felt empty. And the littlest thing would set me off, and no matter what rational thought I had to go, no, that's not true, it didn't matter. When the anxiety was so overwhelming, rational thought disappeared. And it's not something that I ever like to experience. It's not something I want to experience again. And I remember sitting there in my house, and my wife came up to me and said, "Joel, I think that you need to see somebody." Because of the wisdom of my wife and because of the wisdom of my godly doctor that I saw at the time, I did. I started seeing a counselor, but I also chose at that time to choose medication. Right? I, this isn't something I share lightly, but this is something that I think is important. Because as we jump into this in Matthew 6:25 today, here's what I need you to understand is that there is some level of mental sickness and disorder that we experience as a culture. And I'm not here to say that medication is wrong, because I have experienced this. Right? I have gone to counseling. I have family who are Christian counselors. And this is something many of us deal with. But what you're not going to hear from the church as we jump into this is that never seek help, or if you need to, never seek medication. Right? That's not a decision that we are going to be for or against. That's a decision between you and your doctor. But the words of Jesus are powerful. And I share you my story up front to let you know the baseline of where I'm coming to this passage from. I've known this passage is in our series, and I've been honestly dreading it since we started. Because anxiety and depression is difficult, it's personal for me, but I also think it's an opportunity for us to grow in something as we're experiencing this culturally around the world, and many of us experience the weight of this personally. Matthew 6:25. In the Sermon on the Mount, this is what Jesus says about anxiety. He says, "Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value? Or do you not have more value than they? And which of you, being anxious, can add a single hour to a span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." And it's great when we see the words of Jesus, and when Jesus says, "Don't be anxious." But when Jesus says, "Don't be anxious," and then we feel anxious and we can't get past it, then we feel like there's some disconnect between us and God. The reason we feel this, I felt this. Maybe I'm the only one, but I don't think that I am. But in this passage, I also think that we don't need to get lost just on Jesus commanding us not to be anxious, because there's words of hope in this passage too. Look, this, because Jesus even says, right, when he's talking about the birds of the air, right, in verse 26, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? The lilies of the field, look how beautiful they are. Solomon in all his glory is clothed not as beautiful as the lilies of the field. The most beautiful things in all creation. I don't know if you've ever been to Holland and seeing the tulips growing in Holland, and just these like fields of tulips. It's unbelievable. It's one of the most beautiful sights I've ever seen. But Jesus is saying that even in nature, if God creates such beauty and such intricacies that not even Solomon could be as beautiful as they are, right? God cares about you so much more than he cares about blades of grass. You're so much more valuable than that. And that's really the beginning place, because some of you just need to hear this today, that you are valuable to God. You are valuable to God. He values you. He values you. But too often, right, when things don't go the way we want them to go, we think, oh, God doesn't care. I've thought that. Or maybe God just hates you, and God doesn't hate you. He cares for you. He loves you. He values you. Not only does God care about you, but keep this in mind, right? In the story of humanity itself, we see it. We see the beginning of that in the trouble with humanity played out in Scripture, in the Bible, right? It's the story of sin taking over the world and this Jesus coming to save the world. In fact, the culmination of Scripture itself is God saving you because he values you. You are valuable to God. And if the only thing you hear today is that God loves you and you are valuable to him, that is a good sermon. But that's not my words. Those are Jesus' words. You see, when we allow our anxiety to consume us to the point where we question if God cares, we are subjecting ourselves to a pre-Christ condition. See, Jesus equates it to not having faith. Oh, you have little faith. Right? I don't think Jesus is like wagging his finger like, oh, no. Like there's this comparison here. Like you're living like you did before faith was in your life. When we get so overwhelmed that we lose sight that we're valuable to God himself, we are living in that pre-faith condition. And look, I got saved. I don't want to live in light of sin anymore. I want to live in light of righteousness and glory. Because I'm valuable to God, and so are you. And we can't let the enemy steal that from us. You know, Peter, one of the disciples of Jesus, wrote a letter. It's in 1 Peter. We're going to jump in there here in just a second, 1 Peter chapter 5. And in this, he's writing this letter to this group of Christians that is dispersed all over the Middle East at the time, in Asia Minor. And they're living in some pretty severe persecution. And their situation is overwhelming. And they're living in an insane amount of anxiety of not knowing what to do. And Peter addresses them directly in 1 Peter chapter 5. This is what he says, right? Verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. You know how we know the Christians living in dispersed were anxious? Because Peter says it, right? You have anxiety, give it to God. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing the same kind of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. You're not alone. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. You see, what Peter's saying is, hey, we got to include God in the solution. You can't just deal with this. You can't just shoulder this on your own. You've got to include God in the solution. And while I understand that depression and anxiety are clinically diagnosed solutions, I mean, I get that. I think that the fear that we run into too often is that we search to those as the single source of hope. We search to counseling or medication or even just internalizing it, not saying it, hoping it goes away. And I'm not here to say again that medication is wrong or counseling is wrong. I don't believe that. What I do believe is, though, we have to include God in the solution, because when we include God in the solution, you submit your anxiety to his authority. Peter says it, humble yourself under the almighty hand of God so that at the proper time he may exalt you. Right? We cast those anxieties, we give them to him. It doesn't mean that we're not going to have to give them to him tomorrow again and later in the afternoon again. And maybe in the middle of the night when we wake up again, and then the next day, and the next week, and then the next day. Sometimes it's a daily thing that we give and cast our anxieties to God. It's not a one and done thing. I'm sorry, it's not how it works. But Peter also points out that it's not just a mental battle, it's a spiritual one, because there's an enemy looking to destroy and devour. Maybe your problem isn't a clinically diagnosed anxious disorder. Maybe it's not depression. But I'll tell you what, we're living in an anxious time, and too much I've seen Christians talking and Christians posting and Christians reacting to the news, and they're not including God in the solution. We can't do it. Our hope does not rest in a politician that saves us from the coronavirus. I don't care what color your politics are. That's not the answer. And if your hope is that in November, everything's going to be fixed, you're casting your cares on the wrong thing. Guys, it's time as a church that we stand for this. Because when we cast our anxieties on God, we're showing the world around us that our hope is not red, white, and blue. It's eternal. It's in the King of all glory. Whether it's personal for you, whether it's like me, it's the anxiety, the depression, or whether it's just overwhelmed by what's on CNN or Fox News right now, there's a better answer. And when we include God in the solution, we submit our anxiety to his authority. That's a much better authority. And again, I'm not saying it goes away, but this is the words of Peter. Because there's going to come a time. There will be suffering. We're promised that, right? It is going to be hard. But the God of all grace, who's called us to an eternal glory, not a situational one, not comfort here and now, but eternal glory, he's the one that will restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. But we've got to include him in the solution. Maybe that requires a refocus for us today. Each Sunday morning I come in here, and if you're watching on the live stream, I hope this is in focus as I tell the story, because if not, it's going to be really awkward. Because I come in here and I spend time focusing all these three different cameras so that those watching online can enjoy a decent experience. And sometimes like a camera will get bumped. And even just a little bump will throw the whole camera out of focus. And then you gotta like move it, and this one appears extremely hard because it's on the worst mounted tripod thingy ever, and like I'm always like mangling with it, and it's always like grouping. I'm trying to pick it up and then refocus. It's a nightmare. But sometimes we've gotta spend the time to refocus, because without refocusing, we don't see the picture clearly. If I would encourage you to memorize a passage in scripture this morning, it would be Matthew 6:33, right? It's the very end of the passage that we read in the words of Jesus. This is what he says: seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. This verse is a realignment verse. I love this passage because it changes everything for us. You see, because pre-Jesus, our focus is usually self. Maybe family, but usually self. But then after Jesus, we're told that our focus is bigger, it's broader. The mission of Lighthouse Church is what? To see. Yes, good job, Brad. To see lives transformed through Jesus. I say it a lot for a reason. I want us all to understand that we want to see lives transformed through Jesus. That is seeking first the kingdom of God. But the problem is when we get overwhelmed and anxious about the things around us, what we eat, what we drink, what we wear. Who's elected? Who's going to win that baseball game? Maybe that's just me. Is school starting back? What's going to happen with my job? What's going to happen with my kids? What's going to happen with my elderly parents? When we let those things overwhelm us with anxiety and anxiousness, we're letting them steal our focus. You see, Jesus changes our focus from our kingdom to his. And he says, you want this to be better? Stop focusing on your kingdom and start focusing on mine. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then everything else will be taken care of. That doesn't mean everything else will be better. But when we keep in mind that the kingdom of God is priority number one, when God himself is number one, it helps put in perspective the problems of two through whatever else. So here's my question for you today, is what kingdom are you focused on? What kingdom are you focused on? Is it a kingdom of man? Is it your kingdom? Or is it God's kingdom? Look, sorry, there's no magic answer to this. There's no solution that just makes it better instantly. But what we find is when we can focus on the kingdom of God and we invite God in to be part of the solution, when God is involved in our solution, right, and submitting to his authority, submitting our anxiety, our troubles, our depression even, to his authority. And then we can understand that we aren't just here to exist, that we are here and valued. That is a good life. I'm not saying it's an easy life. I'm not saying that there's not times that we're going to have to work at this. But it's a good life. One of the things that helped me most when I was in my most anxious and overwhelmed situations, right? The days that were just the overwhelming days was Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God. And there were days that, you know what, that verse did the trick. And it was, man, I have an opportunity to love other people for Jesus. And there were days where I would say that verse and I would go, you got to say it again because you're not convincing yourself today, Joel. It's not easy. The kingdom of God's not easy. Christianity's not easy. We talked about this last week. It's not easy. But it's worth it. There's a better solution than just the solutions the world is giving us. All those solutions are temporary. But we worship an eternal God who loves us eternally. And he loves us so much. The culmination of all of creation was when he created you. And the pinnacle of scripture itself is when he saved you. You are valued. Bring him into our solution. Submit our anxiety to his authority. And let's focus on his kingdom. Because it's worth it.